Got to get wired here. Okay, we're going to talk about friendships today. Actually, evaluating your friendships is the title of the lesson. And I'm going to start here in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. I know some of you may have handouts, some of you don't, and that's okay. Not sure how far we'll get, but we'll hopefully at least get through the first point. That's my objective. Anything else is a bonus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us your word that we can look into. It gives us wisdom, gives us principles to live by. There are many commands that you give us about how we should live our lives, and they're not to be neglected. And when we do neglect them, we find ourselves in trouble. And Lord, I pray as we look into this idea of friendships that you give me wisdom to be a help to your people and that we'd learn some important lessons here. We ask that you'd guide us through this time, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So our first verse is Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 20, evaluating your friendships. It says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." I'd like to think that everybody has friends. I know some people might not think they have any friends, but we all have some kind of friendships. Some of them are good for us. Some of them are not so good for us. But friendships are very important that we have the right kind. If we have the wrong kind, they're going to influence in the wrong way. And I don't think that most people realize how much influence their friends actually have on them. Because they begin to be like and act like their friends. And sometimes we've all seen it with someone all of a sudden, you know, they were good, godly, strong people, and they start drifting a little bit. And you can see that they're drifting. They can't see that they're drifting. You look in and you say, well, what's changed? And you can say, ah, they're friends. Their friends are influencing them. And if you even dare approach them and talk to them about, like, no, my friends are not doing that to me. You know, it's the idea that I wouldn't stoop that low, or I'm more spiritual, or how could you think this of me? Well, it's not that we just think that of you. We think that God's word is true. When God says that our friends are going to influence us, that's what's going to happen. And if you have bad friends, you're going to be a bad person eventually. They're going to rub off on you. But at the same time, if you have good friends, they will influence you toward the right things. You know, we talk about the idea of rebel radar, right? You see bad kids tend to get with bad kids. There's also bad adults get with bad adults. And we do the wrong thing. So really, you've got to understand that it's really important to have the right kind of friends, because they're either going to help us get closer to the Lord, or they will bring us further away from him. So think about it right now. Your friends. Think about each one individually. Does this one, think about your best friend. Does this one bring me closer to God? Or does it pull me further away from the Lord? So I think it's wise for us to evaluate our friendships in light of what the Bible says, so we can make some determinations whether they're good or bad. Not whether we like them or not. There's a lot of things that we like that aren't good for us, right? I like lots of sugar. It's not good for me, right? I like fattening food. That also is not good for me. But it appeals to me, right? There are certain types of music that your flesh likes. You like it, but it's not good for you spiritually, right? The Bible says abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. And so the same thing with people. You say, but they're nice people, or I like this person, or you know, they do this for me, and they give this to me, and they're whatever it is. And we say, but I like them. So what? Are they good for you? That's the key. Are they helping you in your relationship with the Lord? So I want to ask some questions and then answer them from Scripture to examine our friendships. So First idea is this. How can I determine if my friendships are good or bad? I think that would be a good place to start, right? How do I know if this kind of a friendship is good for me or bad for me? So here's some more questions that you can ask to help answer that question. First one is this. What kind of advice do they give me? What kind of advice do they give me? Are they giving me good advice or they give me bad advice? You know, I have, if you have the handout, I have listed there 2 Samuel 13, you know, verses 1 through 5. Amnon had a friend, right? Named Jonadab. Jonadab was a very subtle man. He gave some bad advice to Amnon. And Amnon had a lustful desire he wanted to fulfill. He's talking to his friend, and it says friend gave him a really good idea about how to get to fulfill your lust, get what you want. Now, was it a good idea? To Amnon and to Jonadab, it was a good idea. And was it successful? It was success, yes. But did it bring him the happiness he wanted to have? Absolutely not. In the end, he was miserable. Well, actually, in the end, he was dead. Right? His friend got him killed. That's a blessing. No, it's not a blessing. You know, you can have what you want, but you tend to lose what you have when you get what you want. So be careful about what you want. So we need friends who are going to give us some good godly advice, not tell us what we want to hear. And we all know, you know, we got something brewing in our mind. We've got a plan. We got a plot. We got a scheme. We've got something. You know, this is what I'd like to do. You know the response you're going to get from certain people, right? Teenagers are that way. They're like, oh, I want to do this, and I got to present this just the right way to mom and dad. Otherwise, they're not going to buy this. I got to get them to buy into this. And so they might tell part of their plan and their scheme or half of what's going on, and because they know if I say this much, they'll agree. If I tell them the rest of it, no way. And so people are pretty good about disclosing. And it's that way when you go to the pastor. I have met people come and, you know, they want advice over the years and or whatever. And you come and you're looking for counsel and you give them part of the story. Because you give them all of it, they're going to tell you something else, and you don't want to hear that. And so you know the friends that are going to respond the way you want them to respond and give you the advice that you really, really want. You want someone to condone what you want to do. We're that way. We're sinners. We're fallen. We have a corrupt nature. And so we have to be careful in understanding that this is something that we tend to be prone to and learn to go to the people who are spiritual in our lives and get some good godly friends and ask for honest godly advice, because that's what's going to help us. Or we can be like Amnon and seek and follow the wrong advice, and the result is not good at the end. Proverbs 27, verse number 9 says, "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." Right? I don't do this because I'm not a lady. I guess there's some guys that do this, but I'm sorry. I'm not a lady. They put on their perfume and they just feel so pretty. You know, oh, I feel so good because I smell so nice today. I'm happy that you're happy. Guys, if you have a problem with that, you've got a problem. Sorry, but you've got a problem. I'm not saying, guys, you should go out trying to stink. But you get the idea. They smell pretty. They smell fresh, whatever it is. It rejoices their heart. They feel better about themselves. And that idea God uses as an illustration for us, that so does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. That word hearty means strong and healthy. And so the kind of advice that we need to get that will rejoice our heart and be really actually sweet to us is strong, healthy type of advice, not weak and sickly type of advice. Any kind of advice is going to let us do what we want to do in the wrong way or lead us into some sinful pleasure or desire is weak and sickly. It's not hearty counsel. So what we need is some hearty counsel. And you're going to get that from some hearty people who are spiritually minded. All right. So the first consideration that we have again is, what kind of advice do they give me? So you've got a friend, hopefully, in mind. What kind of advice do they give you? Is it good? Is it healthy? Is it helpful? Now, let's look at another question we should ask. We're trying to determine if our friendships are good or bad. Second question, should I follow their example? Should I follow their example? Because our friends will influence us, and as I said before, we tend to become like our friends. You know, they say that you are what you read, right? If you read a whole bunch of garbage, you're going to have a garbage type of mentality, right? And you read people who are wise, you're going to tend to be wise. And so the scripture says this in Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why? Because what happens if you do make a friendship with this kind of person, someone who's always in a rage, and they're always furious, and you go with them, what's going to happen? The verse there says, lest thou learn his ways and get what? A snare to thy soul. So if you go with evil people, God said you will learn their ways. And not only that, you'll get a snare. It's a trap. You'll be in a trap. Your soul will be put in a trap because now you're going to be put in a situation where you're either asked, pressured, or whatever to do something you know you shouldn't do, and you're in a trap. And what happens when people stumble into a trap? Most of the time, they get caught, right? They get caught in that snare. And so the Lord says, if you go with someone long enough and you hang around this person often enough and you let them influence you, you will do what they do. You will become like them, lest thou learn his ways. So God said we tend to learn the ways of our friends, and we typically follow them. Let me take a step back now. We have to be careful with our young people. They're going to get jobs. They're going to be in the world. You know, you can't get out of this wicked world until we get raptured and go to heaven, right? So they're going to be out there, but there's this horrible temptation for them to, like, well, I want to be accepted, and so I'll spend a little time with these people, and a little time turns into more than a little time, but I'm not going to let them influence me. But that determination not to let them influence them will still influence them. And so we've got to, as parents, as adults, as mentors, or whatever, be involved helping our young people to realize. And unfortunately, I'm sorry, sometimes, because we were all young people at one point, right? Some of us, it was a little longer ago than before. We always knew as young people, I don't know about you, but I always knew better than my mom and dad. My mom and dad had wisdom and had years of experience and all that, but I still knew more than them. This little punk knew more than them. Now, I didn't know more than them, and I didn't often listen to their advice as I should have. And I'll tell you, I was in a lot of snares to my soul because of my foolishness and my stupidity. And if I could have just stayed away. You know, I didn't grow up in a strong independent Baptist church like this either, so I'm not. But I don't have any excuse. I still did wrong, all right? I got myself in a lot of trouble, all right? Yeah. I'm not going to go into all that. But I got many a snare to my soul. So if they're doing evil, it's only a matter of time before you're doing evil. So I'll share this one story. We were gonna go out Christmas shopping, me and my teenage buddies. And a couple of my friends had sticky fingers. And my mom said, "So where are you going?" And I just jokingly said, "Going Christmas shoplifting, ha ha ha." And I had no intentions of stealing anything. I didn't need to steal anything. I had money. But I'm telling you, we were out there, and everyone's getting this, and this guy's got that. And I'm like, well, I could probably get something too. I got something I didn't need. I had the money for it, but just because everyone else was doing it. I was like, wow, this is fun. This is exciting. Until we left the store, and here comes the security control, and then here come the cops, and then here's Dave in the back seat of the cruiser on his way to the police station, and then being locked up, waiting for what was even worse, for my dad to come. Oh, and a 45-minute ride home with my dad in the vehicle. Mm. And then having to go to court, and my dad going to court with me. And then being dressed, as a cool dude, my dad looked at me and said, "You're dressed like all the other thugs here." I'm like, ooh, ouch, everything just, All of that, why? Because I was not with good friends, and I learned their way. And I'm not going to get into all this. I learned a lot of other things I shouldn't have been doing from those and other friends. And did they bring a snare? Surely they did. So if they're doing evil, it's only a matter of time before you're doing it. If they smoke, good chance you're going to start. They drink? No, I would never. You may. They curse, you're going to get a little loose with your lips. All sorts of things. They tell off-color jokes. You might not tell them, but you weren't expecting to laugh at them. But it was funny, after all, you say. And I couldn't help it. Well, you couldn't help it because you've learned his ways. So friends are going to influence you and me. And if you can't follow their example, I have a suggestion. Don't be close friends to them. Don't hang out with them. Don't spend much time with them. And as I go back to, you work with, most of you work with unsaved people. If your kids go out and get a job, they'll typically work with unsaved people. Help them understand they don't have to be accepted by everybody. You don't have to be accepted by everybody. And I'm not saying don't spend time with unsaved people, but the time we spend with unsaved people should be for one main purpose, not for fellowship, not to have mutual enjoyment with each other. It should be to bring them to Christ so that they can know the God that you know, so that they can help you and you can help them. That should be the end game. That should be the ultimate goal of any of our contact with unsaved friends. If that's not what you're doing, say, well, I'm just, I spend time with them and I'm just showing them that Christians can have fun and Christians can be, lively and I don't have to drink and all this. And you're not being an active witness, then you are going to learn their ways. They're not going to learn your ways because they're going to be bold around you, but you're probably not going to be bold around them. All right, let me get to the next one. So, a couple of those questions. What kind of advice do they give me? Should I follow their example? Thirdly, are they primarily interested in helping me or themselves? Answering that question could tell you whether or not they're a good friend or not. Some people will only be your friend when you have something to give them. Typically we would think of, money, possessions, whatever. Proverbs 19:4, talks about this wealth maketh many friends, right? If all of a sudden I became a millionaire, I bet more of you would want to hang out with me. I'd be invited over a lot of places. Hey, Brother Olson, hey, can you come over? It says, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Why, poor people? Yeah, whatever. He got nothing to offer me. Why would I give him any time? Proverbs 19, verses 6 and 7. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. You know, even the world knows that. If you want to have friends, you can buy them off. You just give them enough stuff, they'll be with you. They'll come around. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. So even, you got a poor guy, even his brethren hate him. Nobody likes him because they're poor. Now, is that a Christian attitude to have? Absolutely not. He says, how much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. Proverbs 14, verse 20. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. So if your friends are only interested in what you can give to them, they're not true friends. That's just the way it is. Remember the prodigal son when he had all that money? But he had all sorts of friends. When the money was gone, he was out eating with the pigs. No man would give to him. Why? Because he had nothing. He had not, they weren't his, none of those people were his friends. They were just getting what they could. And it's not just monetary things. It's emotional support. Some people will just, they just want to drain from you all the sympathy that they can get. They'll never put anything into your friendship, nothing into your relationship, but they will just try to drain everything they can from you. Give me all the sympathy, all the attention. And that's a horrible thing, too. That's not a great friend. I'm not saying you shouldn't help people, but it's odd that some people get some kind of satisfaction by being used by others. They feel more, I don't know, worth something that they're giving and giving and giving, and they're getting nothing back, and they're like, I'm giving and giving and giving, and they start to begrudge it, but they're still giving and giving and giving, and that person who's just taking and taking and never giving back is not necessarily your best friend, even though you're giving a lot to them. And even in relationships, there's been many a young men who've pursued young ladies just to get something out of them, get their purity. They hadn't, oh yeah, I'm your friend, I love you, I care for you. No, they don't, not at all. They only care about themselves. If they cared about you, they'd keep their hands off of you. So, another question to ask then is this. Do they encourage me to do evil or to do what is right? This is to decide if this is a good friend or a bad friend. This is a pretty simple one, right? Do they encourage me to do evil or to do what's right? Obviously, if they encourage you to do evil, they're not a good friend. But it's not. We have to go a little step further. We want people who are not only going to abstain from encouraging us to do evil. We want them to step it up and encourage us to do what's right. There are others who will just sit there and kind of be neutral. They're not going to say yay or nay to you. They're just kind of like, eh. That's not always a good friend either. So Proverbs 1:10 says, my son, and this is Solomon talking to his adult son, who he's concerned for his adult son. And I think we should all be concerned about our children, whether they're small or if they're grown. And children, you should listen if you've got a wise parent who's wanting to talk to you. But he says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not, because they're going to entice you. And so when they do entice you, don't consent to it. Ephesians 5:11. and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So instead of letting having fellowship with them and letting them rub off on you and influence you, you and I are supposed to reprove them. That means correct them. That means to tell them they're wrong. Now, if you have someone who's trying to get you to do wrong, and you start telling them that they're wrong, and you continue to tell them they're wrong, how long do you think they're going to be your friend? Probably not much longer. So it's okay, and not only okay, it's wise to do what the Bible says and reprove people who are trying to get us to go the wrong way. You correct them. You correct them. No, you're wrong. Nope, you're messed up. Nope, you're going the unbiblical way. So, well, I don't want to say that. They're my friends. They're not good friends, and they'll never be good friends until you confront them and help them. So instead of having friends who lead us astray from God, we need some who bring us closer to Him. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Has your countenance ever fallen? Does it ever get a little bit dull? Well, you need a good friend who will sharpen you. A good friend will make you sharp. So I don't need to be sharp. Have you ever tried to use a dull knife to cut anything? That's pretty tough, right? It needs to be sharp. It's a lot more useful when a knife is sharp. You're a lot more useful when you're a sharp type of person. And you're not going to be that way without good, godly friends. So a good friend makes us better for God and makes us more useful to the Lord. So your friendships, are they making you more useful, a useful tool, like a sharp knife? Are they making you more useful for the Lord, or are they slowing down your service, hindering your service, pulling you back a little bit? Remember what Paul taught the Corinthians, which applies to us? In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, it says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." Evil communications corrupt good manners. Your influence is not going to make everybody else great necessarily, but their bad influence is going to pull you down. I'm not saying you shouldn't try to have a good influence, because it can. But it's the idea, okay, you take a bowl of strawberries and you put a rotten strawberry right in the middle of the bowl. What happens if you leave it there long enough? What happens to the rest of the strawberries? Oh, those strawberries make that rotten one good, right? Absolutely not. It never works that way. The bad one works its way out and affects all the other ones. So we have to be careful with our friendships. Here's another question. I thought I was going to get through the first point. It's all right. Maybe I'll finish in a couple of weeks. Letter E is in my outline here anyway. Do they agree or disagree with my desire to serve God? Okay, do they agree or disagree with my desire to serve God? When I got right with the Lord, my friends were still my friends. I didn't know all of this. And they're like, "Hey, let's go out. We're going to go, you know, drinking. We're going to go to the bar or something." I was like, "Well, I don't drink anymore." I'm like, "Well, you can just get, you know, like a near beer. You know, you can get some non-alcoholic beer. You can get a Coke and sit with us or whatever." And I tried that one time. It just didn't work really well. I remember we went to a gas station, and they went in, I went in. I gave a tract to someone at the counter. They're looking at me like, "What are you doing? You're weird." And I'm looking at them like, "What are you guys doing? You guys are weird." You know, and they turn on the music that I wasn't wanting to listen to anymore, and it just didn't fit. It just didn't work. They didn't agree with my desire to serve God. And those friendships, I tried to get them to church. I got one guy to come, but I tried, But there was no mutual interest anymore, right? They didn't want to serve God. I didn't want to serve the devil. So it just, those friendships just kind of dissolved. And 1 Peter 4:4 says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of rioting, of riot, speaking evil of you. They think you're weird. No, it's not strange. Even Jesus was troubled by his friends and bothered, they troubled him. They didn't understand his desire to serve God. And it says in Mark 3:21, and when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. He's mad. He's gone crazy. He's lost it. Jesus has lost his marbles. And that's kind of what they thought. And when you do what's right, if someone's not saved and you get saved, or when you get serious and start living for the Lord, people are going to be thinking, what's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me. I'm actually doing what's right now. Why do you think that's weird? And don't be alarmed when that happens. Let's pray. Father, we